Question I have this morning is, are you grateful? Do you have a heart of gratitude? We seem to have so much in this world, at least in the U.S., that I think we often take most of it for granted. I think of cars. I am very grateful for my junky, cheap, non-flashy car. It used to be green, now it's camouflage, not because I painted it that way, but because all the paint has started to fall off, and so it has this nice mottled look to it. But it gets me to work. We should be grateful for houses, heat, we have plenty of food. When's the last time you actually went hungry? I mean, truly hungry. And I'm always grateful for food. The reason I'm talking about gratefulness this morning is that I have experienced many things this week that I am grateful for. I'm grateful that my father's surgery, colon cancer surgery on Monday, went very well. And we got a good report on the cancer. It's about the best report you can get, and that and he should be able to recover from that. I'm grateful for all the help we received from our biological family. My Aunt Liz is here this morning. She flew up to help out. I'm grateful for you, our church family. I've had many reasons to be grateful this week. This is Family Sunday, which means that I gear the sermon to as wide of an audience as I can get age-wise. And I'll be doing a Jungle Jam, sort of. I tell these stories where they're from Jungle Jam and Friends, the radio show, where I do all the voices of all the jungle characters. And this is a story about Marvy Snuffleson and the Razzle Flabbins. How many kids have any clue what I'm talking about? Jared! All right. Well, a couple of you, that's good. The only thing that the Razzle Flabbins stories and the Jungle Jam stories have in common is that they happen during the same radio program. Jungle Jam and Friends uses jungle animals. Instead, with this story, the main character is usually a little boy named Marvy Snuffleson. Marvy Snuffleson III, I believe. But he always ends up on an island with creatures called Razzle Flabbins who help him learn a biblical lesson. The story I'm going to tell you today assumes that you've heard the previous program where Marvy meets a Razzle Flabbin named Sven. Sven can change himself into any sort of animal he wants to, and he teaches Marvy to be happy with who he is. That's a good story, and maybe I'll do that some other time, but today's story is called Goodbye Merle. Let's see, there's not a whole lot of characters in this one. You'll be able to know who I am by my voice and where I'm looking. Marvy's right here. Merle's over there. And let's see, we got a maitre d'. Do you know what a maitre d' is? It's like the head of a restaurant. He's right about where Justin is. And Marvy's father's over this way. Say, did I ever tell you about Marvy Snuffleson? Hello. Marvy loved adventures. He loved hearing stories full of adventure and playing fun adventure games. Marvy! And a second, Dad! Marvy, come inside! I'm flying a jumbo jet! Your grandmother came a long way to see you, Marvy, so land and get in here. Okay. She has a surprise for you, too. Besides, it's almost dinner time, and it looks like it's going to rain out there. So Marvy came inside, gave his grandmother a kiss. Hi, Grandma. And tore into the present. But he was quite surprised when he got past the wrapping and saw what it was. Socks? Marvy's father reminded him that he should say thank you. But it's socks. I landed a jumbo jet for socks. Marvy, socks aren't very fun. Marvy, say thank you. I thought it would be a video adventure game or something. Marvy. Marvy looked up at his father. He could tell he was not happy with him at all. Uh-oh. I think you need to learn to be a little more grateful when someone gives you a present, Marvy. Marvy knew precisely where he was headed next. My room? Precisely. But I'm hungry. Marvy. Marvy's head drooped low and he walked up the stairs. He shut the door behind him and buried his head in his pillow. Pretty soon, he heard the rain start falling outside and thought maybe he should close his window. Before he could get up, it began to rain really hard. It sounded like the whole yard was flooding. Marvy looked up from his pillow just in time to see a big wave washing his open window. It picked up his bed and spun it around the room. He held on with all his might as the giant wave carried him and his bed right out of the window and off onto the high seas. Whoa! When Marvy woke up, he was found himself on a beautiful island. Have I done this before? Just then, he saw something round and furry walking toward him on the beach. I have done this before. Don't tell me. You're a razzmatazzle.
That's Razzle Flabbin.
Oh, what's your name?
Merle.
I'm Marvy. Do you know Sven?
Sven?
Sven Ingersoll.
No, it's a big island, Marvy.
Merle the razzmatazzle.
That's Razzle Flabbin.
Sorry, Razzle Flabbin. Anyway, even though he looked and sounded very much like Sven, he lived on lowly terms in a little grass hut through which the breeze blew freely.
Come on in!
Food was sparse. There were no conveniences and few sources of entertainment.
Basic cable, but none of the movie channels.
But Merle the Razzle Flabbin was grateful for every piece of fruit he could find or fish he could catch.
Marvy, would you like to play a game with me?
Marvy got very excited.
I love games!
But when Merle pulled out a bunch of sticks, rocks, and coconut shells, Marvy couldn't believe it.
What other games do you have? This is the only one!
Marvy was amazed that Merle didn't die of boredom with no high-tech games that were manufactured or purchased.
There's nothing that even needs batteries.
Merle showed Marvy his coconut shell and stick game and some fruit and a neat pillow he had made out of palm leaves.
You sleep on this? Well, on the pillow. It's not even soft. Marvy, I'm a razzle flapping. I'm covered in fur from head to toe. What do I need soft?
When Marvy expressed his lack of interest in the fact that he was quite unimpressed with the game, the fruit, the pillow, and the socks that his grandmother gave him, one at a time, each of them, disappeared.
Hey, cool!
Marvy was astounded. How did you do that?
I didn't, Marvy. You did.
I did?
Yes, on this part of Razzle Flabbin Island, when you are ungrateful for things, those things disappear.
Marvy apologized, but still thought it was pretty cool.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of stuff, so do try to be more careful.
Okay, sorry.
And that looked like a nice pair of socks, too.
Hey, got anything to eat around here?
Well, sure.
Merle pulled out his food-finding map.
Food-finding map? Pretty handy, huh?
You don't just have a cupboard or a refrigerator or something? Maybe a tacos?
Marvy, look around. It's an island where Italian is predominantly preferred.
So off they set with the map, searching for something to eat. But the hike was no quick, easy trip. In fact, they walked for hours without finding anything. When they finally decided to stop and rest, Marvy wondered,
are we there yet? Well, according to the map, the fruit trees should be close by. Fruit trees? I was thinking more along the lines of a Happy Meal, you know, with a little toy dinosaur and maybe a hamburger and fries or something. Well, we'll just have to keep looking once we catch our breath.
Merle explained that for now, they should just enjoy the clean air, cool breeze,
and this nice flat rock we can rest on.
Merle began to study the map, but Marvy, hungry and tired, was not at all satisfied with this and began to complain about the map being worthless.
What good is this map? It's not leading us anywhere near food. Can't we just order something?
And then he complained that the flat rock wasn't very flat at all and was very uncomfortable. Merle looked up.
You're not being ungrateful, are you, Marvy?
Well, I just don't see a whole lot to be grateful about here.
Marvy, that's not a very good idea. You know, Merle, you're not nearly as fun as Sven was.
Marvy, please don't say things like that. At least he could turn into stuff. Can't you turn into stuff? Like maybe a pizza delivery guy?
Oh, Marvy, please take that back.
But it was too late. The map, the flat rock, and Merle all began to disappear.
Marvy!
Marvy looked around. He was alone. He was mapless, rockless, and Merle-less.
Oh, well, who needs a silly old rock or a map anyway?
However, it would have been handy to have Merle around to help him get back to the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Marvy decided he'd better get walking. He tried heading in a few different directions but found nothing worth eating or sitting on.
Sven could have turned into a sofa or maybe a hide-a-bed.
Marvy kept walking. He was getting hungrier and hungrier by the minute. Suddenly, he stepped into a clearing. There before him was a Three Guys from Italy restaurant, a fine little bistro, a bit overpriced, but the eggplant parmigiana is second to none.
At last, something to eat!
The maitre d' stepped up. May I help you?
Do you have eggplant parmigiana?
It's second to none. But you will not be dining here, young man.
Why not?
The maitre d' pointed to a sign in the window. No shoes, no shirt, no socks, no service. Marvy looked down.
He had a shirt, and he had shoes, but sure enough, he had no socks.
Ergo, no service.
But I'm starving.
Too bad. Didn't your grandmother ever give you a pair of socks?
Why, yes, she did. But they disappeared. Oh, if only I'd been grateful for my socks. I'd be eating eggplant parmigiana right now. A bit overpriced, but second to none.
The maitre d' shook his head. The riffraff we get on this island.
Turned and walked away. Marvy was so hungry, he just couldn't take it anymore. He sat down and began to cry. If only I'd been more grateful. He didn't realize how awful not having all the things he'd complained about would be. Just then the maitre d' tossed Marvy a small dinner roll.
Here, you can have this. It was left over.
Thank you, I'm starved.
Marvy took a big bite of the roll.
Wow, it's not very big, but it sure tastes great. I sure am grateful for the small leftover dinner roll.
And as soon as Marvy expressed his gratefulness for the small roll, it suddenly grew into a full-sized loaf of French bread, sourdough, not too hard, with a delightful cheese sauce.
Whoa, this is enough for me and Merle.
Oh no, Merle.
Marvy remembered how his ungratefulness had made Merle disappear.
I miss Merle. Sure, he's not Sven, but I miss him anyway.
No sooner did Marvy say this out loud than Merle began to reappear.
Merle, is that you?
The more Marvy showed his excitement and gratefulness, the more clear Merle became.
Marvy!
Merle immediately noticed the delicious French bread in Marvy's hand.
Marvy, that looks great, but don't you go filling up on bread now.
Huh?
You gotta try it with the eggplant parmigiana. It's fantastic.
Marvy looked back over at the sign in the window of the restaurant.
Boy, I sure would be grateful right now for those socks my grandmother gave me.
Just then Marvy looked down at his feet, and instantly his socks reappeared.
Hey!
How many in your party? Said the maitre d'.
Two.
Follow me, please. Charlie, a table for two. Quickly, quickly. Did you see his socks? Marvy and Merle had a wonderful dinner.
Second to none.
In fact, dinner never tasted so good to Marvy, and he was never so grateful for his food or his socks. As Marvy and Merle talked and ate, Marvy realized that God made everything and that he should be grateful even for the small things. After they finished eating, Marvy and Merle walked back to the beach.
It's too bad this whole island is so big. It took us so long to get back to the beach, and the sun's already going down.
Merle gasped at the sound of Marvy's statement.
Marvy! But I'm really glad the island is here, and I'm so thankful to meet you. Whew, that was a close one.
Sorry. Marvy climbed up into his nice warm bed.
I'm thankful I got to meet you too, Marvy.
The two friends said goodbye.
Goodbye.
And Marvy watched as Merle walked off toward his humble hut. Then Marvy put his head down onto his pillow, shut his eyes, and drifted off to sleep. When he woke the next morning, he was back home. And the very first thing he did was go downstairs and apologize to his grandmother for being ungrateful. And he thanked her for the wonderful socks. The end. Thank you. If you were sitting here before the story, you can stay. The rest of you probably should go back to your parents for the rest of the story. So whenever Marvy was ungrateful for something on the island, it disappeared. How much stuff do you think you'd have left if that really happened to you? You know, though, sometimes that's kind of what happens. For explanation, I love my parents. That's kind of a given, right? But I don't usually tell them that. I just assume that they know. I'm very grateful for the care they've shown me and the advice they've given me over the years. I remember when I basically had to drop out of the music program at Cedarville University because of bad grades. Mom was the one who suggested that I try broadcasting. It's just one of the many things that I'm grateful for. And it may have been years since I told Mom that I loved her or I thanked her. or thanked her. And when she had her illness, we could have lost her. And then I wouldn't have had another chance, at least here on earth. I had come to take her for granted. And the same, too, for Dad. How long had it been since I told Dad that I loved him? I know it's not a very manly thing to do. If you want to make two guys feel uncomfortable, force them to tell each other how much they care for one another. But I was very glad that I had the chance to go to the hospital for the surgery and get to tell Dad I loved him before the surgery. Because you never know what might happen. Being grateful. What is gratitude? Wikipedia, an online encyclopedia with sometimes questionable facts, had what I thought a really good definition. It was, gratitude is the substance of a heart ready to show appreciation or thankfulness. It is not simply an emotion, which involves a pleasant feeling that can occur when we receive a benefit or favor from another person, but rather the combination of a state of being and an emotion, often accompanied by a desire to thank them or to reciprocate for a favor they have done for you. So it is a feeling that promotes an action. And it's sort of tied into one, a feeling and action tied into one. The Jungle Jam today came with a scripture reference, and it's our text this morning. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And follow along with me. That's Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians, as a way of background, is a letter written by Paul to the church at Colossae. It is written because Paul received word about them that they were being deceived by bad teaching, false doctrine, being taken in by it. And it was a doctrine that moved Christ out of the forefront, took Jesus out of the picture, made him less important, and put good works and the law in his place. So Paul spends much of the book talking about the importance of Christ to salvation, how Jesus frees us from the law. And the point can pretty much be summed up in chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, which I'll read if you don't need to turn there. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Then in chapter 3, Paul then tells them some practical things about how to live godly lives, and that brings us to the passage I already quoted, 15 through 17. Verse 15 again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. So what is the peace of Christ? When you think of peace and Christ, what comes to your mind? I think it is the freedom we have from the law. If I'm always worrying about my salvation, on whether or not I'm doing enough to be saved, if I'm doing enough good works to make it, then I have no peace. But Christ took my works, both the good and the bad works, and nailed them to the cross. That says that as long as I believe on him, my works don't matter. And I don't want them to matter, because they will never be good enough. I will never do enough good things to make it. Then he finishes up the verse with, and be thankful. Be thankful, grateful for the peace of Christ. Verse 16 goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So the first verse was, so let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Christ's words, his teaching, should live in us. When something lives in you, it has to come out. It's evident. When you can just look at a house and tell what kind of person lives there, usually. You look at our house and you know that Chris lives there. There are roses out front. You can often tell that two little girls live there by the toys that are often in the driveway. And you can tell that I live there by the junky car on the curb. But people should be able to tell by looking at you and listening to you that the word of Christ dwells in you. How? Going with the rest of the verse, by the way you teach each other, correct each other, the way you sing songs of gratitude to the Lord. Because if you know the word, if you know the Bible, you know what you're grateful for. Finally, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do, whatever good work we accomplish, whatever good deeds we do, we need to give Jesus the credit. Because remember, it's not our works that save us, but Jesus and his sacrifice for us. So do everything in his name, for it is only through him that we're saved, and do it, serve him with every act of service. It says every word or deed, do it as an act of giving thanks. Each verse there mentions giving thanks or gratitude one time. So that's three times for the whole passage. And like I said, that passage went with the Jungle Jam I did. It came with the script. The Jungle Jam application was that we should be grateful for things because God made them, and therefore we should be thankful for everything, even the small stuff like socks. And you can get this out of the passage, but to me it seems to be a very surface meaning. I think there's a deeper level of gratitude that we can easily get from these verses. I read a blog that was expounding on gratitude. And it had some good things to say, although I don't think that it was written from a Christian perspective. The author said that there are two levels of gratitude. The first level is visceral or surface. It's being thankful for the roof over your head, for your family, for your job, for your food. And he said the problem with that is that it is usually used in a negative connotation to cheer us up. At least we have a roof over our head. Or at least we have our family. Or at least I still have a job. The second level of gratitude is more of a constant attitude of, wow, I'm thankful I exist. It is a constant attitude of being grateful for every second, every minute, every opportunity. And the sad thing about this guy is he didn't seem to know who to be thankful to. That wasn't mentioned anywhere. It's just, be grateful. Okay, to what? But we know. And I think we can take that deeper meaning a little further. So the surface meaning of this passage is to be thankful for everything, even the small things. But the deeper level, the level that I feel is the true and intended meaning of this passage, is to be thankful, eternally grateful to Christ for what he has done for us. Another thing that I got from Wikipedia, and this is great, it said, psychological research has demonstrated that individuals are more likely to experience gratitude when they receive a favor that is perceived to be, one, valued by the recipient, two, costly to the benefactor, three, given by the benefactor for benevolent intentions, and four, given gratuitously rather than out of a role-based obligation. Now, looking at those again, it kind of does the preaching for me. Psychological research has demonstrated that individuals are more likely to experience gratitude when they receive a favor that is perceived to be, one, valued by the recipient. What could be more valuable to us than eternal salvation? Two, costly to the benefactor. What could be more costly than Christ's death on the cross? Three, given by the benefactor with benevolent intentions. Jump right to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. His love is why Christ died for you. And four, given gratuitously rather than out of role-based obligations. Given freely. It is a free gift, free to all who would believe. We have a great reason for gratitude. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that this will help to remind us of your gift to us, of your sacrifice, of your provision to us, making a way for us to be with you for an eternity. Help us to be grateful for the things around us as well, Father, but let us not miss that. And that everything we do is an act of gratitude, should be an act of gratitude to you. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who doesn't know you, who doesn't understand, that you would make salvation clear to them, make the plan clear. Nudge them to ask for help if they don't understand it. Amen. And now, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.